If you have a Bible, let's turn to John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11. John 16, verse 8 to 11. John 16, 8 to 11. Are you alive?
Yes.
Oh. Are you alive?
Yes.
John 16, 8 to 11. Pastor Lily and I, okay, one day when we are back in Singapore, I will try to raise fund, and I was telling them that because right now, Arnaldo, Rosemary, and Rizadi, they are on their own. I say, why don't you create a fellowship, a minister's fellowship? And you can gather all your members and your leaders to come together and have a time of evangelism or a time of revival. And I say, we are willing to come and we will sponsor the food or whatever, the transport, and we can share the word of God. And it will be very good. Know what you did for God. It's never wasted. The churches that we started in Libertad are all still functioning. And they have matured. And they are winning souls for the glory of God. You know, the thing is that we laugh at Arnaldo, okay? He was actually working for the Yap's family, the Yap Chuiki's family. Okay, and he was not very promising. But he's confident right now. And his three children, they are in 1920s, in their 20s. And they are starting to get involved in the church and in the ministry. John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Father, anoint this message right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. I want to title my message this morning, Convictions of Sin. Conviction of Sins. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11 is part of Jesus' teaching concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has already come. Okay, the Holy Spirit came during the time of Jesus Christ's resurrection. But the Holy Spirit is already here. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, the helper, the counselor. The He, and when He is come, is the Holy Spirit that is found in verse 8. The Holy Spirit is not the third fiddler. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the tripartite God. The Holy Spirit is God. You have to understand this truth. And we have to learn to depend upon the Holy Spirit. You know, recently, few months, I'm learning, say, God, Holy Spirit, I want to learn to depend upon you. I do not want to learn to depend on my own strength, my own ability, but I want to learn to depend upon you. The passage of Scripture reminds us that we, as the believer of Christ, need to link, interconnect with the Holy Spirit. Because we are not alone in sharing the Word of God. The Holy Spirit comes and is okay, always working in hearts that we are talking to, in minds that we are talking to. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. The late Colton Wickramadney said this: God's method is a man. God's method is always a man. That is you. You need to cooperate. You need to work together with the Holy Spirit to bring about convictions of sin, bring about renewal of life. So what is the Holy Spirit doing in our day? Number one, convicting the world. John chapter 16 verse 8 says, and when He is come, the Holy Spirit is come, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world, will convict the world. Do you have this experience that when you share the gospel to someone, you give a lot of scripture verses, you quoted a lot of scripture verses, and yet the person remained unmoved. The person remained, did not break down. The person was not touched. He's oblivious what I'm saying, what you are saying. Then suddenly you realize that, oh, in your own helplessness, you are not looking to the mighty Holy Spirit. And you start to turn to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit, you realize that you're trying to convince the person of sin by your own self. And you realize that it cannot be done. So you turn to the Holy Spirit. You cast your spell upon the Holy Spirit to do the work, and conviction comes. The Spirit can convict the most callous, the most hardened prisoner. The most sinful person, the Holy Spirit can do that, as experience has proven again and again. The Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin. We are told in John chapter 16, verse 6 to 11, that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, convicts the world of righteousness, convicts the world of judgment. You can never convict any man of sin, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can reason and reason. I tell you, you can reason and reason and reason, and you will fail. In 1978, I went to the National Stadium for the Billy Graham Crusade. I was with a group of Buddhist Taoist members in a cell group headed by a monk. And one of them said, let's go and make fun of the I found it crusade. We make fun of the word, I found, oh, I found my money, I found it. I went there to make fun of what they are doing. But through the preaching of Billy Graham, anointed by the Holy Spirit, I was convicted. For the first time, I realized that I need a Savior in my life. Then I realized that I have this hunger to want to know about God. And I was searching, and God let a person come and share the gospel to me, and I went to church. But again and again, it is the Holy Spirit that produced conviction. When I say, what do you mean by conviction? To convict is to expose the sin in our life. To convict is to convince. To convict is to bring to light concerning the situation of our life. The Holy Spirit's role includes revealing truth to the world and confronting the world, confronting every one of us of the need for salvation. But as a pastor, I'm not to stop preaching. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8 says, I will send to you, and when He is come, the Holy Spirit is come, and the Holy Spirit is already here. I want to tell you something. If you learn to say, pray, and learn to say and pray, God, Holy Spirit, I learn to rely on you. I depend upon you. I trust in you. I want to tell you, if you just whisper that kind of prayer, you will see a tremendous difference in your life. Amen. When you go through situation and circumstances in your life. He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness. He will reprove the world concerning judgment. It was the Holy Spirit, through Peter, that spoke the word of God, and 3,000 people got saved. How does it come about? The Holy Spirit. Today, we do not convict. We do not see conviction of sin in the church. Not even, don't mention about the world. It's a very sad thing. We are living at a time where self is promoted. Self is exalted. Self is praised. I. When you talk about something, I is always there. It's pampered, it's praised, and it is promoted. The word selfie, which I think I told you once upon a time, was named the word of the year by Oxford Dictionary in 2013. Why was selfie the word chosen? Because there was 17,000% increase in 2013. Tremendous increase on the word self, making it a cultural phenomenon. Okay, what is selfie? Selfie is taking a photo that one is a photo that one take of oneself, typically one taken from the smartphone, the webcam, and share it on the social media. Can you remember the first film on Jumanji? Jumanji was in 1995. Can you remember this lady called Bethany Walker? And she will wake up in the morning, but she will be on the bed, and she will move her coffee properly. Then she will arrange her hair, and she will just take selfie. I think there's a picture of her here. Do you have that? Yeah. She will do that every morning. Every morning. For herself. And that was 1995 already. And 2013, selfie become such a... Even today. Today, in the world, I just want to tell you something. We see spiritual indifference. We see worldliness. We see compromises. We see defeat. And as a result of all this, we are defeated in life. And we see barrenness in our life. We see barrenness in the church. We see barrenness in our family. We see barrenness in our finance. There is an appalling intemperance, excessive indulgence in alcohol, excessive indulgence in sexual promiscuity. There's an excessive indulgence in appetite for food, licentiousness and vices in the church. In the church. Don't talk about the people in the world. Only by recognizing that we cannot convict them. You know, it's so hard to convict people. And we realize that, oh, we cannot convict people. I come to a point, I've been here for 39 years. I come to a point that I cannot convict a person. I also come to a point, God always tells me that you're not a savior of the world. You try your best, but you're not a savior. If you think you're a savior, you're wrong. I cannot convict the world. We have to turn to the Holy Spirit and depend upon the Holy Spirit. And the sad thing is that the church has become the strongholds of iniquity. There is a dearth. Pastor Lee was talking about death. There is a dearth of conversion. Only Pentecost can bring about the conviction of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can bring about the conviction of sin. That is why there is this thing. It was the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit did in the Azusa Street 1906. You must go and do a research on the Azusa Street 1906. Do you know that the Azusa Street revival in 1906 that started revival all over the world? That caused revival all over the world. There was this man, one man, William Seymour. You know what he did? He will put two shipping crates, or two stacks of shoe boxes as pulpit. He will do that as pulpit. And he said that when the service is progressing, he will put his head bowed down, giving the impression that his head was inside the stack box. He said it is historically true. Okay, this is from ChatGPT. Historically true that William Seymour sometimes will preach with his head inside the wooden box. He was hiding himself. What was very interesting that he is black. In the 1900s, if you are black, I tell you, you work in manual service. You are a laborer. You work in the agricultural. You cannot work in the professional service. You don't have access to skilled work at all. Those are given to the whites. Because of the systematic black racial barrier, the black people are kept out of white neighborhood. You cannot go to a school where there is white and black together. No, there's no such thing. White school is white school, black school is black school. Those were kind of life, the culture of that time. So it was limited rights, racial prejudice, economic hardship when you talk about the black people. The third thing about William Seymour was that he was blinded on one eye because of smallpox. This one he was okay, but he was blinded on one eye because of smallpox. It was these three phenomena where self is kept out of the way that started the greatest Pentecostal revival in the 1900s. It was said that you do not need to teach the poor to be humble. The poor are already humble. I'm in Babasa. They treat me like king. They are definitely very humble compared to the people here. You do not have to teach the poor to be humble. They are already humble. A handicapped person is often humbler than others in society. Am I correct? Yeah. You look at the handicapped, the wheelchair-bound people. God says, Saul Seymour, humble, a black, kept out of the way. And God used him through the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit comes upon him that started the greatest revival in the world. It was said that the revival in 1906 was so immense and global that it swept over, that it cost 600 million Pentecostal convert until today, 2025. Just one man. A praying man. What was the work of the Holy Spirit today and in 1906? God's glory come to the humble and hungry. We are not humble, we are not hungry. If somebody push you, if somebody cut your line, you get angry. There's a lot of road rage because you cut into my life. God's glory come to the humble and the hungry. God did not choose a palace. I'll show you the building in Los Angeles. Do we have the building? Hello? No, the building. Okay. God did not choose a palace. God chose a redundant building to start the Azusa Street revival that started for that lasted for 3 years and spread all over the world. All denomination, whether it's the Assemblies of God, the Four Square, the Church of God, all started because of that incident. Just one man. There was deep conviction of sins. There was deep conviction of sins. When God's glory come, man fades and Christ is exalted. No ego, no platform, just Jesus lifted high. Today we have no conviction of sin. Who can convict sins? The Holy Spirit. It is said that in real conviction, when you are really convicted, you see yourself, in a terrible light. You realize that, oh God, how evil, how sinful, how dirty I am. You see sin as self-coronation. And you have a deep sense of the enormity of your sin and the essence of your sin. You will be what the Bible says about you. That then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will hate yourself in your own sight for your iniquity and your abomination. You will start to see yourself, how can this come about? Through the Holy Spirit. Of course, prayer is needed. Because prayer exposes a man's total dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Repentance is not a conviction of sin. You can be convicted without repenting. Yeah. No one repents unless he's convicted. But not all who are convicted repent. Conviction is not enough. Conviction is not repentance. Because he says, except you repent, you shall perish. Is sorrow repentance? No. Esau was sorrowful for what he did, but he never changed. He was sorry for his sin, but he did not repent. Something more than tears is needed. Many a time when the power of the Holy Spirit come upon the church, upon the conviction, upon the people, they were in tears. But when they leave the church, they go about their old ways. They did not repent. Repentance is turning from sin to God. Repentance is getting hold of what that is wrong and pull it out by the roots. We need repentance even for our good self. We think we are very good. We think that we are the good people. Our good deeds will bring us to heaven. You are so wrong. Your good person will not bring you to heaven. It is Jesus in you that brings you to heaven. We need repentance on our religious self. We need repentance from our spiritual self. We need to see pride, self-righteousness, shame, hypocrisy, lust, duplicity, the sin in your life that enslave you. What is repentance then? It is the moral response of a soul that is awakened to the call of God. It's coming back to God. Concerning sin, we must recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have to wage war. God has given you spiritual weapon. You know, sometimes you got to just pray. People are so disobedient. People are so rebellious. I'm talking about people in the church. You got to wage war. You got to go to God through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 verse 3 to 6. We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapon, not worldly weapon. Knock down the stronghold of human reason. You know, people reason and reason. You look at America, it's a very good example of seeing the people, what they are. You want to talk about worldly people? I'm sorry, it is America. It is America. You got to knock down the stronghold of human reasoning, destroy false argument. We destroy every proud obstacle that keep people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious mind. We capture their rebellious mind and thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. After you become fully obedient, you will punish everyone that remain disobedient. How can you do all this? By praying. John chapter 11 verse 9 says, of sin because they do not believe in me. You know what's the core problem of the sin that Holy Spirit is highlighting? It is unbelief in Jesus. When He's come, He will reprove the world of sin. You know what's the Holy Spirit trying to say? Those that reject Jesus. You will reprove them because the number one sin is unbelief in Jesus. Many sins exist. But rejecting Jesus is central. It keeps people from forgiveness. It keeps people from eternal life. You know, there are 15 million Jews in this world today. 15 million. You know what's their core belief? Unbelief in Jesus. Of course, they have many sins. But rejecting Jesus was the central because they keep Israel from forgiveness, keep Israel from life. The Holy Spirit will reveal to the Jews and make them realize that they need a Savior, and they realize, oh, Jesus is a Savior. And the Holy Spirit will send Moses again. The Holy Spirit will send Elijah. Moses, Elijah will be sent. And when they see Moses, they say, oh, this is Moses, the Moses that we are talking about in the Old Testament. And Moses say, you have rejected your Messiah. What? Who is the Messiah? They'll say, your Messiah is Jesus Christ. And the two persons, Moses and Elijah, they will appear before Israel and tell them to repent and turn to Jesus. The number one sin, you reprove the world of sin, is rejecting Jesus. The number one sin of the people of this world is rejecting Jesus. You know, Israel is very powerful today. They defeated the Hamas. They defeated the Hezbollah. They incapacitate Iran. And they have the backing of America. So they think they are invisible. I want to tell you, if I read my Bible properly, the day is coming that they will be immobilized. They will be attacked on all corners of the earth. They will be so frightened. And there was a time when Moses, Elijah will be there. And they realize they need a Savior. They realize that they cannot come out of it. How do you know that America will not come against Israel today? How do you know that America will not come against Israel one day? If I know my Bible properly, they will come against Israel one day. Moses, Elijah will point to their core sin and point to them Jesus as their Savior, and they will be the same. The same goes to the people of this world. I was made to realize in 1979 that I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has a power to regenerate. He not only convict, He can regenerate, He can change you. See, you say, oh, my personality cannot be changed. I'm such an introvert. I have such low self-esteem. I feel ugly. I cannot be of use to the world. The Holy Spirit has a power to regenerate you. The Holy Spirit can turn your personality in one that is bold, in one that is confident, into one person that can cry out to God and believe in God. No, Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which you have done. I mean, we have a harvest man. 300 souls came to our church. Are they convicted? Are they saved? But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit has a power to tell something. Some of you say, I cannot change. I can never change. I am hopeless. I am beyond help. My situation cannot improve anymore. God cannot help me. I want to tell you, you are so wrong. The Holy Spirit has the power to renew a man and make the man anew again, to regenerate. Regeneration is the Holy Spirit. He can take a man dead in trespasses and sin and make him alive again. He can take the man whose mind is blind, blinded to the truth of God, who is at enmity with God and set on sin, whose affection is corrupt and vile, and transform that person, impart to him God's nature, so that he thinks God's thought, will what God's will, and love what God loves and hate. The Holy Spirit can do that. The Holy Spirit can change your personality. I tell you frankly, the Holy Spirit can change you. And you are precious. You are treasured. You are the firstborn. You are treasured in God's sight. You are important. There are moments in life when God's presence feels very distant, very far. But when the Holy Spirit comes, there are times when God breaks in like thunder. And Mount Sinai, can you remember Mount Sinai? I'm doing my devotion on Exodus right now. It was said that Moses will go out to Mount Sinai, and there will be thunder, there will be clouds, there will be lightning and thunder and light inside the cloud. It talks about God, and God will break through like thunder. And Mount Sinai, God doesn't whisper. God doesn't stay hidden. This is what the church needs today. During the Azusa Street revival, it was said that they, when they were in the church building, they see the cloud, the deep cloud. The children were playing and they see the mist of the cloud. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God speaks. God speaks. God can do likewise today. God can speak through His Word. God can speak through His Spirit. God can speak through His chosen messenger. And you will come with power. You will come with sound. You will come with fire. And the people will tremble like the Israelites tremble. They will tremble like Mount Sinai. We must pray, Father, please don't stay hidden anymore. Please don't stay distant anymore. Please come to the church. Please stay near. Come. Come to the church. Be near. Because this is your dwelling place. Come with power. Come with sound. Come with hidden fire. Number two, the righteousness of Christ. When He's come, He will reprove the world of righteousness. This righteousness is the true righteousness. The Holy Spirit will tell them who is the true righteousness. And the true righteousness is Jesus Christ. I don't care. Okay, you say, oh, Buddha. I tell you something. Buddhism has a lot of good, beautiful things. Good works, quiet. But do you know God told me one day, I don't know how to explain to you, God told me that Buddhism is evil. Cannot preach this in Singapore. God told me, He led people astray. He led people astray. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of false righteousness. You know, I was watching this YouTube. This group of Singaporeans, they are rich. They took their cars and they crossed countries to countries. Malaysia, Thailand. Then they go all the way to reach Mount Everest. I think a lot of cars. And they reach Tibet. They reach Tibet. And they saw this thing. And they were just... to Mount Everest, just 2025, I think. Just 2000, this means now. They saw along the highway many Tibetan Buddhist believers performing their pilgrimage called prostration. And they were prostrating towards Mount Kailash. It was said that these people will kneel down, bow down, and touch the floor. The forehead on the concrete with the whole body prostrate every 3 steps. Then they'll come out. Another 3 steps, they'll do likewise. The driver of the Singapore car said it will take 3 years for them to reach the destination. Can I see the picture? I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked. It talks about the false religion that such practice exists today. And they are called prostrating pilgrims gaining merits towards enlightenment. You can never get merits to go to heaven. You want, can. Be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Can you be perfect? You can't. You can't. I call this false standard of righteousness and self-magnification on display. What is righteousness? Being right with God through Jesus Christ. Living according to His standard includes moral behavior, living rightly, spiritual standing, justified, declared innocent by Jesus Christ. What does it mean? Because Jesus said, I go to the Father. Jesus went to the Father. Jesus is saying that His resurrection and His ascension showed that He is truly righteous. If Jesus was sinful and false, He would not be welcomed by God in God's presence. He returns to the Father, is public approval of God on Him. That Jesus is perfect, innocent, acceptable. And Jesus said, you will see me no more. It means that He leaves the Holy Spirit here today, convicting us. The world defines righteousness as good person. No. You can never go to heaven because you are a good person. You can never go to heaven even if you think that you are actually by nature a good person. You cannot. I want to tell you, some people by nature they are good people, and they think that they are by nature they are good people, they will go into heaven. No. They cannot. Only dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Number three, a world reckoning for judgment. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of the coming judgment. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The prince is... The second coming is also a judgment of Satan because he will be bound into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. A world ripening for judgment. Give an image that suggests that the world, because of increasing sin and injustice and rebellion to God, is nearing a time of divine judgment. I want to tell you, we are getting nearer and nearer. We are on the 11th hour. We are getting nearer and nearer for the divine judgment. Do you notice that the attention is always focused on Israel? The attention is always focused on all the old power in the Bible. Iran is Persia. Iraq is Babylon. Syria is Assyria. Egypt is just there. All the world power is concentrated on there. It's coming. If you study the map, you put a map into a square, Israel is the center of the world, of earth. The Holy Spirit is to convict and announce the coming judgment. Never in history has the world been such ripe, judgment ripe condition as it is now. We've seen abounding in high places and in low places, in public and in secret. What are the signs of the ripening judgment of the world? Widespread moral relativism. Right and wrong are so blurred. Gray is the color. You know, they say that all vehicles, it is the gray vehicles, the gray color vehicle, that has the least accident. Right? Black and white cannot. Black is black, white is white. No, they say the world is no more black and black, white is white. The world is grey. It talks about the favorite color is grey. You cannot tell anymore what is right, what is wrong anymore. You know, there was this lady boxer. She won the Olympic boxing championship in 2024. But she's a man. So in the final, she fought with a real true lady. How is a lady going to fight with a man? And the lady that lost, she was in tears. See, how to fight against a man? And I don't understand why the Olympic Committee put this person as a man, even though she claimed to be a lady, to fight against another lady. The world is totally mixed up. The world is totally messed up. I want to tell you, so messed up right now today. Widespread moral relativism. Increasing violence and lawlessness as seen in wars, crimes and corruption. Do you know that Putin captured 30,000 Ukraine children and he won't release them? He will put them and indoctrinate them and make them one day grow up to fight against Ukraine. Putin is he's under the ICC court of Duterte. Okay, he's like Duterte. He cannot travel anywhere in the world because of stealing 30,000 children. How can a person do that? I mean, if you want to harm a small baby, you will feel so convicted, so sad. I mean, but the world is like that. You think Hitler, Putin is not like Hitler? I tell you, he is. I want to tell you, he is. And you will come and act as, he's a nice man. He's a nice man. You cannot tell what is right, what is wrong anymore. Persecution of righteousness. Believers are mocked, silenced or attacked. You know, in Singapore, I cannot preach the gospel anymore. I cannot talk to a stranger and say, do you believe in Jesus? I cannot. They will put me in jail. We are silenced. We are silenced. And we are mocked by the government to preach the gospel. Rejection of God and the scripture. Secularism dominates the churches. Oh, don't call him the senior pastor. Call him the executive pastor. Because in the company there's executive CEO. So we have to call the church leader the executive. I cannot understand all these things. I tell friends, I cannot understand. I cannot accept all these things. The Bible says, do not remove the ancient landmark. Do not remove the ancient landmark. Oh, for a revival of convictions and of righteousness to see our beloved land to sweep the world. The coming judgment is so frightening, worse than the judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than the flood. It needs to be shortened. The judgment that is coming will be so frightening that God has to cut it short. You don't believe? I read to you Matthew 24:22. And if those days had not been shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, the chosen people of God, those days will be shortened. Matthew 24:21. Say that such judgment has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. That means this judgment that is coming will be the worst judgment that will ever exist in the world from history of mankind until now. You know, Josephus, the historian, he was doing a history details of how the Jews were killed. They were killed by Emperor Titus and Emperor Vespasian. He said that millions of Jews were sold as slaves out of Egypt. Millions of Jews were killed by these two emperors. He said that. And during that time, the world's population was only 200 to 300 million people. I believe that billions will die in the coming judgment. I believe. The true Messiah coming will not be secret this time. And the judgment has not happened yet. The judgment is coming. The time has not been fulfilled yet. Jesus said that this will be the most awful time in history. Jesus said that when you think of a terrible war, you think of plague, you think of famine, you think of genocide. No, they say that during the COVID-19 plague, 20 million people died. 20 million died in the COVID in the world. 20 million is a lot. The Ukraine war is only 1 or 2 million. They were dwarf in comparison to the coming judgment. It will be a great, the Bible didn't say tribulation, the Bible called it the great tribulation. Let's talk about Matthew 24:21-22. 21 says this, there will be great tribulation. Jesus speaks of a time of unmatched suffering called the great tribulation. I'm finishing. It will be worse than any previous disaster, including Noah's flood or fire coming down from heaven or Sodom and Gomorrah, of Jews' past Holocaust. The word Sodom, what is the meaning of the word Sodom? You know what's the meaning of the word Sodomite? No, you think properly. What is Sodomite? You sodomize me. What is this? God said he will fire, he sent fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Because there will be intense opposition, intense rebellion. It will be a final global tribulation before Christ returns. Verse 22 says this, if those days had not been cut short, the intensity of the tribulation is such that if God did not limit its length, nobody can survive. There are 8 billion people in this world. Cut short implies God's mercy, sovereign control. He does not let suffering go unchecked. For the sake of the elect means God's preserving and protecting his chosen people, those who are faithful. You must be faithful. Jesus did not hide the reality of suffering, but he talks about caring for us. God has not forgotten you. God is powerful enough to shorten the days of trouble, faithful enough to carry you through them. His mercy is greater than the storms that you're going to face. I want to tell you, God is a very, very, very good God. God is a very, very good God. You know, I look at Sheila, Pastor Sheila. I mean, yes, she went to be with God in heaven, but God has not forgotten her. God has not forgotten her. God is powerful enough to help her. God's mercy is greater than any storm in your life. Pastor Rizaldi wants to sell his land, $5 million. I said, you cannot sell. You have to give it to your daughter, Faith. But how about all the expenses? The medical bill say $175,000 for just for the 3-4 days of stay. Where do you get $175,000? You know what happened? One of the sisters connected to Gareen, they released the $175,000. Then the doctor said, I will not release all the paper unless you pay the doctor's fee. The doctor's fee is 40,000. We collected 20,000. Then now 40,000. Master Lily is so gracious. She released the 40,000. We gave 60,000. Then Joy and Jen gave 10,000 when we were there. Because we really gave her so much. So I said, Joy, Jen said, Daddy, are they in debt? They said, no lah, they are okay. So gave 10,000. I forced Pastor Ephraim to go to the parlor and say, pay the 10,000. When Pastor Ephraim was paying the 10,000, another government personnel paid another 10,000. So they are short, if I'm not wrong, just 5,000. Then I was telling Pastor Chua, I was so excited. I said, Pastor Chua, do you know I managed to meet the 6 churches that we started. Just 6 churches, there are more than 6 that we started in Antiki. Then Pastor Chua said, oh, Sheila was one of the 6 students that studied in the first Bible school of Jack, EMS. Pastor Chua released 5,000. I gave. When there's money, I gave. Pastor Chua said, you pay first, I pay first. You know, this whole thing. No, there are people that get into debt as a result of death. You understand what I'm saying? They have no debt. Why? I ask you. Because God has not forgotten Sheila. God's mercy is greater than any storm the church, the family is facing. This is the kind of love that God has for each and every one of us. The only one criteria God is asking from you. Be faithful. God is just asking you to be faithful. Be faithful. I conclude. There's such a deadness. Pastor Lily was sharing it among churches today. There's no conviction of sin at all. And even if you're convicted, you cannot change. There's a spiritual death and rebellion. And self is at the forefront, even in the church today. Sin are no more hidden. You know, I do not like Trump about a lot of things, but Trump did something that is very good. Okay, you know, when he attacked, when they managed to destroy the nuclear armament of Iran. You know what he said? I thank Israel. I thank God. Well, I was shocked. See, I thank God for helping Trump. Do you know that he bring back the Ten Commandments to be written on schools? Go back and restore the Ten Commandments on the schools. The Ten Commandments. Do you know that he did a lot of things? He did a lot of things that is with God approval. And the people protest. Why must you put the Ten Commandments back to the schools? Yeah. The world is messed up. America is messed up. Messed up. Really messed up. They protest. You don't know why Trump is against Harvard University? Because they bring all the Palestinians there and put. You are in America. You protest against America. You raise the Palestinian flag. Why you raise the Palestinian flag? You are not in Palestine. You are in America. There is so much wrong that is everywhere in the world today. We do not feel the need to repent. We are not afraid of judgment and we are heading to hell without God. But God sent His Son. God sent His Son to bring back conviction. To bring back conviction. His first sermon was similar to that of John the Baptist. Repent. Repent. And I say to you today, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus reproved the leadership of the synagogue for their sin and hypocrisy. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the righteousness. I am the righteousness. No man go to God the Father except through me. Because Jesus said, I am God. And I died for you on the cross of Calvary. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go through me. Because of my mercy, I pay for your sin. No matter how you prostrate everything, you still have sin in you. How good you are a person, you still have sin in me. Jesus said, your sin remains because you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus preached about the coming judgment. But they all rejected him like billions do today. Jesus himself was rejected and God crucified him on the cross. Why? For your sin. For your sin. For your rejection. So that when Jesus is resurrected, you can be forgiven of your sin and be accepted by God. That the righteousness of Christ can come upon you when you come to Him to receive Him. You don't have to face the coming judgment. You don't have to. You can come to the Holy Spirit, put a fire, a new love, and regenerate you, and put a new hatred for sin upon you. You can be made alive again by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has already sent the Holy Spirit. You just need to sincerely come and depend on the Holy Spirit to revive us. Pastor Lily said, Mike, last Sunday, God showed him a picture of the valley of death. Then Pastor Lily talked about the smell of death. Maybe many of us, we are spiritually dead. We are spirit. You think you are alive. You know, God said to the Laodicean church, you think you are alive, but you are dead. Come and buy salve from me, that I may anoint your eyes and make you alive again. We need to be alive to God today. You need to be alive. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to send His presence, send His power to convict us. I'm not saying that you'll be perfect right now, but we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit daily in our life that we can see the power of God manifested in our life, in our church. Shall we all stand up? Musician, please help me. I want to ask you, do you feel that there is a deadness in your life? You feel that everything is fine, but there's a deadness in your life, your relationship with God is not fine. I want to tell you something. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin, of your present state. You need the Holy Spirit to prepare you for the coming of Jesus Christ. You need a conviction of sin and you need the power to repent. And if you say that, I cannot change, you can change. Because the Holy Spirit has a power to regenerate you. The Holy Spirit has a power to change your mind. The Holy Spirit has a power to convict you of the things that is wrong in your life. The Holy Spirit has a power to transform you into another person. You come because Jesus has really died on the cross of Calvary. You come. And Jesus said, when He is come, when the Holy Spirit is come, and the Holy Spirit is come already, He's here. He's here to show mercy. He's here to restore you, to transform you, to regenerate your life, to make you alive again. And if you are the person, I invite you to come to the altar as we sing. As we sing. Yes, you come as we sing.